Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're just starting chapter 18, and we're talking about how Yeshayahu, just like he prophesied regarding what would happen to Sancheirav when he and his group of nations would come against Eretz Yisrael, and it seemed like nothing would stop them, in the end they would be defeated. So too, in the future, there'll be a messianic war, and they also will be defeated. And he's describing the group of nations that will come against us. It's a little mystical or not so clear which nation it is. He says, Hoy Eretz Tzotzel Kanafin, a land that's covered by wings, Asher Me'ever Lenare Kush, that's opposite the Kush rivers, somewhere out there. We don't even know where exactly. Yeah, you could say Africa, you could say, usually Kush is associated with Africa, but it's nations from the other side of the ocean that are going to come against Israel. It's just interesting the way it's described. I mentioned to you that when the when modern day Israel, when they brought some of the Jewish people back to Israel and they came to the Sephardic countries, some of the Jews lived in very primitive lands. They'd never seen an airplane before. Mm-hmm. And they saw in the airplane the wings of the... when we left Egypt, it mentions that we left on eagle's wings. It uses that metaphor. And the modern airplanes are designed, the wings of the airplane have the aerodynamics of a bird. In other words, they really are similar to birds in the way they use the air system. And so even the Chumash uses a description of flying like on wings. And there never was an idea that we would actually grab onto a bird and go. So today it doesn't really bother us to say it means that they'll fly there. Another way would be perhaps there was a land that was known for its birds. You know, the birds were in the shade of the land. I don't know how to describe exactly which country this would be. But there these nations that are going to come against us. So now, a very interesting thing. You know what they're going to do? Hashaleich bayam sirim. They're going to send commissions out against us. They're going to send, like, groups of people to figure out what to do with us. And they're going to send them by sea. They're going to send, they send, like, groups. So in the when Israel was created, they had all these UN commissions, one after another. It was incredible. Like, it just seemed as soon as one finished, they'd start another one. They'd start all over again, another commission, another. Since World War I, they didn't know what to do with Israel, so they kept on making these commissions that would come in groups of people, and they'd talk, and they'd listen to people, and there'd be speeches, and it would go on and on and on and on, and they'd come up with recommendations. And then nobody would take their recommendations, and then you get a new group would be voted in, and what the first thing they do, they make another commission. It's almost like the school boards are a lot like that, you know. What are we going to do about the new building? Well, let's do a study, and we do a study and find out what people say, and then, you know, and sometimes these things go on for years. So this enemy, though, is going to send, like, messengers to us by the sea with a Kli Goma. Some kind of boats made out of goma. He calls that bulrushes. I don't even know it. But he says in English, cork or papyrus, some interesting kind of boats. Submarines, I don't know, whatever it is. They're going to send some kind of boats. L'chu malochin kalin el goy. And they're going to send it. Now, it's very interesting. What will the Jewish people look like in this time of messianic war? We're going to be a nation of survivors. We're going to be a nation that just got there. Here he's referring to this group of nations that's going to send these ships out to us with messengers. El goy memushik memurit. He's going to send to a nation that's been pulled and torn. Really discuss. That's us. We've been pulled. We've been yanked. We've been, you know, it's a, somehow we found ourselves in the land of Israel after all these years, from the Holocaust survivors to the Jews from the Sephardic countries that were torn away, and from just the four corners of the world. This mishmash, Russian Jews and Ethiopian Jews, and this mishmash group that's been pulled and torn is going to get threats from this outside group, is going to come and send messengers. And they're going to send them to this people, El Am Nora. And this people is a calls us an awesome nation, a fearful nation. The other nations do fear the Israelis. It's interesting. They do have that reputation of the...
Well, we have to be awesome in order to have survived for over 2,000 years in the face of all of this. Because mm-hmm. they've been punished and trampled and mm-hmm. everything else, and yet... What does the song say? We're still here.
We're still here. That's right. That's yeah. right. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, though, how he was describing something, you know, 2,000 years ago, and we easily could see it today, referring to the state of Israel today. And somebody who read it 100 years ago when nobody was in Israel, they're thinking, you know, when did this take place? What will happen? But he describes the people of Israel as being memushach, like pulled, yanked. Memoret is like plucked. You know, people were plucked out. Some of the people didn't have much notice, and even the Jews behind the Iron Curtain, for years they wanted to go, and then all of a sudden they let them go, and they came all of a sudden, and the life changed very drastically, very quickly. El Am Nora, Minhu Vahala Goy, this nation was Kav-Kav. Was, Kav-Kav is like, we got punished. We were punished. We just went through a holocaust. Umavusa, and we were trampled. Asher bazu nahorim artso, and our land was plundered. Verse 3. Kol yoshvei sevo. Now this war that's going to take place, the whole world's going to be watching. All the people that live, all the dwellers of the world, that's pretty much it. All the people that dwell in the world, there's nowhere else to dwell right now. Ushokne eretz. It's an interesting expression, the inhabitants of the world and the dwellers of the earth. It implies whether they're in the air or on the land, I guess. I don't know what the two, or maybe it means the land or sea. Kenose nes, they will see like the we will raise a sign. The word Zion, by the way, means a sign or a signpost. Israel was meant to be a sign to the nations. That's what the word Zion means. We're meant to be a light to the nations. That part of the redemption we're still working on, meaning like we weren't meant to be a people just to save us from the Holocaust and from Russia and from all the enemies, which would be a good reason to have a people, by the way. I mean, there's nothing wrong in having a place where Jews can be safe, because throughout our history, we haven't had a place where we can be safe. But that's not really our purpose. Our purpose is to be a leader of the nations. Our purpose is to be a light to the world, to show them morality and how a nation could live in the way of Hashem. We've got a lot of work to do. But that's really the purpose of Israel. And so the inhabitants of the world, they'll see us raise the sign. Kenose nes harim tiru, they'll see katko shofar, and they'll hear the blowing of the shofar. Verse 4, ki ko amar Hashem Eli, this is what Hashem said to me, eshkota va'abito b'nekone kocham. I'm going to rest. From the word sheket, I'm going to give them rest. I'm going to give them peace. Albita, and I'll look down the mechone kocham on those that live in my place. Kechom sach ale or ka'av tal b'chom chatzir. I will. This is describing like Hashem's protecting us from these nations that are come to hurt us. So Hashem will like, it'll be like a protection from the heat of the sun and like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest. Just like when a person is hot and they're like, need to get in the shade. So like Hashem's, when we were leaving from Egypt, the Egyptians wanted to throw arrows and things at us. Hashem like brought a cloud of protection. So here also there'll be, what do they call that thing that they use to protect from the missiles? I forgot what they call that. There'll be... The dome, like a dome. Yeah, that's this word. It'll be like a dome of protection over us. He calls it, let's see, Ketzah, some kind of like cloud, or like a cloud of dew. But it's really a dome. I don't know. What? like fog or something, like a come protect us. They won't be able to harm us. Verse 5, Ki lifnei katsir kasam perach. And it'll happen right in front of the harvest season. They told time by the seasons. Picking season, harvest season, that was always the way everybody knew, you know. But right before the harvest season, this nation would come up, and kasam perach uboser gomel, and the buds, it'll be past. The fruits will already have blossomed. Yeh nitzah v'koros halzalzim b'mezeros, and Hashem will come and he'll cut up the nation that wants to destroy us. He's going to get them with the pruning hooks. That's on the tishos. Hesiru heitaz. He'll remove their weapons. He'll cut them out. In other words, those nations that have come up against us to destroy Eretz Yisrael, they'll be like plucked. They'll be cut off. Verse 6. V'yozo yachtof, once they're plucked and they're destroyed, they'll be left together, eight harim, on the mountains and in the valleys, really for the animals. They'll be like the kates olav ait, the kol bemis orts olav techras. And they'll be like abandoned there, like these mass armies that will come against us will be destroyed, and they'll be destroyed in such a way that they'll be left to the animals, and the birds of the will go out. Has anybody seen like an old battlefield? That's what they look like after the battle. There's like wild animals around, and dogs and vultures, and you know, that's the kind of the description left here of these nations that have come against us. 7. The Esahi Yuvo Shai Lashem Svakus. Now we are going to have another close call. We're this nation that that was plucked and went through a lot. We'll have this final victory over this group of enemies. So we will bring a gift to Hashem, who's the God of the multitudes. We talked about this, that the word Sava means armies. And many times we feel outnumbered. You look at all the nations out there, all the millions of people, we're outnumbered. But guess what? They're outnumbered because Hashem is on our side. And Hashem is the God of the multitudes. Hashem has many more legions than they do. So Hashem, who's the real king of all the multitudes, he's going to do this for Am Mamushach Mamurat, this nation of his, which is pulled around and plucked. Ma'am Nora Manhu Vola Goy Kav Kav. Again, he repeats it. This nation that's been punished and that's been trampled, and Mavusa Sherbozu Norim, that's been whose land has been plundered and whose throughout history has had its land taken away from him. Al Makam Shem Hashem. They will come to the Mount Zion, the name of Hashem's place, which is Eretz Yisrael and Har Tzion. So it's a short mystical prophecy. We don't know. Again, there's only seven verses. Not too many details. The interesting thing I find is just the description of the Jewish people, the Am Mamurat Mamushach, the people that's plucked and pulled and weary, like been through a lot, and how Hashem will come through for his people. Also the idea of the nations won't leave us alone. These United Nations, these groups of nations will come against us with their weapons, and we have our shofar, and Hashem will not allow them to. He'll the same way the farmer comes. Sometimes you have these big stalks, and the farmers come with their combines. Have you ever seen a field after the? Sometimes I drive up, these big tall fields, and then you drive after the harvest, and it's like, what happened over here? It's just totally, cut down. And so these nations are going to come with their multitudes of people, and they're just going to be cut down, mowed down, and just kind of left for the animals of the to get. And so that's some kind of description of this future battle that's going to take place at the end of time. But Hashem will stick up for his people, and that's why And some people wonder how Israel is able to stand up against all the nations. Where do they, aren't they afraid? Don't they feel that they have faith that, you know, this is our land and there's nothing new here. We, you know, we faced different adversaries. If anything, times look better today than they did at other times. You know, the, it's not the first time that we've had an enemy, as we say in the Haggadah, and it's predictable, and it's part of what will happen in the future.
No.
Yeah, in other words, in Yirmiyahu was when the we expected Hashem to come help us.
Right.
One of the reasons that the people didn't do teshuva by the destruction of the temple was they didn't think it would happen. Because at the end, Hashem always saved us. Whether we deserved it or not, He always came to our aid. So they never believed it really would happen, that we would actually be punished and thrown out. And so He was saying, the season is past. It's too late. Isn't going to have the... You know, sometimes when people are waiting, you know, we used to... It was the Custer's Last Stand, or they're always waiting for the, you know, at the in all the movies at the last minute, the army, you know,
the bugle
rider, the horses come running, and here we are, we're saved, and so at that time, Yirmiyahu was saying it's too late, you know, it's not going to happen, we have to turn to Hashem. But over here, he's saying before the harvest and before the season changes, then Hashem will come, and so that's the.
He came after this, and maybe the people remembered that verse, and they used this, like, mm-hmm. the same kind of thing.
Poetically.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Only with a different result. Yeah.
Now let's talk about the Egyptian Arab Spring. That's coming up in this chapter. we never know if it refers to our times, but sometimes there's a prayer that it be our times. If we want the Mashiach to come, which hopefully we do, we're not excited about the war, you know, that. But we always hope that in our times, mankind will get it straight. It'll be the last war, it'll be the last threat, the last danger. So certainly there's nothing wrong in seeing that the prophecies could refer to our times. But if you hear a rabbi who spoke 40 years ago and said, you know, World War II is Gog and Magog, or World War I is Gog and Magog, or Civil War is Gog, you know, depending on how you see the war, you decide who's on what side, you know, which, you know, group of nations against us or the... But there's certainly... prophecies become very real when you see they could describe our times. It gives it a different quality. And we know that the things were written if we feel that there was some message to us. So let's see. This is about Egypt. Masa Mitzrayim. He's got a prophecy about Egypt, but he calls the prophecy a masa. You know what a masa is? It's what you carry. When something is heavy, you got to schlep it. It's
a real burden.
Yeah, that's right. So what Egypt is going to carry is a real burden. It's not going to be good for them. Now it describes Hashem. I don't know when Hashem rides the cloud, but Hinei Hashem Rochev Al Av. Hashem rides the cloud. It basically describes when Hashem is ready to go, things happen very quickly. And any student of history, like the. When we grew up, we thought that Russia would never, you know, the communists were so entrenched, what it would take to get rid of them, and it really fell very quickly, the whole thing came tumbling down like, we all lived through it, it's just amazing, like, for years, the Soviet Jewry, we wanted them to get out, and, you know, we were bar mitzvah, we twinned up with it, so, you know, and every year, it was like, nothing's ever going to happen, and then all of a sudden, it happened. Even in our times, like they had these Arab governments that were there, and the certain things happened very quickly. So too, here also, in Egypt, with Hashem, he like rides a cloud. He's able to move very quickly. We have that expression, Hashem can save things very quickly. Things can turn about very quickly. So he's described on a light cloud, on a quick cloud. Uba Mitzrayim v'nogu. And there's an idea that when nations are punished, their gods are punished. They believe in certain things. When people believe in things that are wrong and injustice, and one of the things that about the Arab Spring is that these societies were very corrupt. You know, they were very the laws were wrong. They were bad to their peoples. They're very hard to the gods that they believed in, so to speak. Whatever they were all false. they distracted the people. Their whole problem was the Jews, right? That was the cause of all. And, you know, the Western countries started saying, oh, all the problems in the world are because the Jews are in power. And then they realized the Arabs got plenty of their own problems. You know, this was just a smokescreen to say that their problems were because, you know, we're in Palestine or whatever. The Arabs, they have lots of problems without the Jews. They have enough trouble in their own countries. So Hashem, though, is going to punish their gods first. Ubo Mitzrayim. Hashem is going to come to Egypt. We know Alile Mitzrayim. And their gods, their idols, or the people that set themselves up as their gods, their dictators, those are the ones that are going to feel the heat. Mepanav. Levav Mitzrayim Yimus. And the Egyptians who were very arrogant, their heart is going to melt. The Kirbo in their midst. And what's going to happen? Verse 2. V'siksakti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I'm going to stir the people up so that Egyptians fight each other. How do you like that? They're going to have a revolution. They're going to fight against each other. They won't get along. V'nilcha ish ba'achiv. And these people that were like brothers, they're going to, the brotherhood, right? They're going to fight against each other. V'ish b're'ehu. Ear b'ear, one city with another. Mamlocha ba mamlocha, one city province against another. They're going to fight. There's going to be this civil war that's going to engulf Egypt. That it could be this took place earlier because he's referring to idols. Most of the time, idols were in ancient times. Today, we've replaced the idols. You know, people have other things that they turn into their gods. This probably was referring to what happened at his time. But like I said, if you want to see it happening now, you could see it happening now. Verse 3, V'nivku ruach Mitzrayim b'kirbo. And the spirit of the Egypt will go out of its midst. Nations, they have their, they have like a something that keeps them going, a spirit. People are worried about America, whether we used to have such a spirit. Everybody was proud to be an American, and people had a Yankee or a certain spirit that... creativity and freedom, and there was a spirit to being part of the American spirit. And the question is whether we still have it, whether the youth are just into the enjoying the you know, the drugs and the alcohol and the certain kind of life, or do they still really enjoy the freedom? Do they really have the spirit? But over here he says the spirit is going to go out of Egypt. It's going to be gone. And Vatsoso, Avale, and usually nations have common sense. Their common sense is going to go lost. Vatsoso Avale, it's going to be swallowed up. The Jushu, and the people are going to look at all kinds of strange gods. The Jushu Elohim, they're going to look at places where we know the answers aren't there. They're going to look to gods. Vale'itim. And they're going to go to all kinds of fortune tellers and all kinds of avos, necromancers. Necromancers are people that call up the dead. You know, all kinds of silly things, yidonim. First, in other words, instead of doing things based on logic, they'll be like superstitious. They'll follow all kinds of silly kind of things. Verse 4, V'sekartiyas Mitzrayim b'yad adonim. And I will give Egypt into the hands of a tough dictator. I'm going to give the. You see, there's usually there's an idea that a king cares for the people, works for the benefit of the people, and then there are masters where they just want to rule over the people. He's going to give over Egypt into these tough masters. They're going to pull Kasha, a tough Umelech Oz, and like a tough king. Yimshubam, they're going to have rough government. Num Hashem, Adon Hashem Svash, that's what Hashem says. So again, like I said, if you want to see it in our times, there's going to be a revolution there. They'll fight with each other. They'll get another dictator. But it describes here the following: V'nishtu mayim mehayam, and Egypt always had the Nile. That was their source. The Nile will dry up. The Middle East won't have enough water. Now, thank God, B'li Ayin Hara, right now this year, there's been a lot of water in Eretz Yisrael. It's been a banner year. It's actually reversed several years of drought, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael. Like they don't even know what to do with all the water. It's like beyond what they've expected. what's going on with the weather in the world is just very interesting. It's just a you know, California's got cold and we got, you know, it's not what people expect. But you know what? It has to remind us to think of Hashem. You know, we're not in control. We as much as we like to think about that we're in control, Hashem runs the world. You know, and so the water that the Egyptians always relied on, the Nile, is going to dry up. They can't rely on that forever to be their supply of water. Verse 6, and they used to always dig irrigation ditches and their rivers. That was what they would be their supply. It's going to dry up, and they're going to abandon their rivers. Zolu. They used to have all kinds of crops next to the rivers, reeds and branches. They have the sea of reeds. All that's going to be gone. Verse 7. Now, all of the plants and rivers and trees and all kinds of farms that they have near the rivers, they'll dry up also because they depend on the rivers. Now, besides the trees and the plants that they, basically the farmers would farm next to the river, and when the water comes up, it'll irrigate that whole Nile basin. So they're going to lose the crops. But the other big thing is the fish. Verse 8, they won't have the fish. Actually, here, these are the fishermen. That was always a big, they had big fishermen in the Nile. If you remember, the Jews, when they were in the desert and they complained, they said, we missed the good fish in Egypt. They had good fish. But we forgot to tell us, you know, we're working like slaves and we were being hit and whacked. And, you know, they were throwing our babies in the sea. And we said, oh, they had good fish in Egypt, you know. But that's the nature of people. They talk about the food, you know. They had the trip. Oh, how, you know, so the. But Egypt had good fish in Egypt. I don't know today if they have. I don't hear much about the fish in Egypt. But
the cruise was great and the food was marvelous.
That's right. But at one time, Egypt was known for their fish. So these fishermen, they're going to Avelu. They're going to be in mourning. That's that word Avel. They're going to mourn the fish. They're going to throw the fish hooks into the sea, and there's nobody biting. You know, it's very frustrating to be a fisherman and try to catch a fish, and they're not there. And they're going to spread the nets, and there'll be no sustenance because those fish are going to dry out too when the Nile goes bad. Verse 9, Uvoshu Ode Pishtim. Now, there was a whole industry that made the nets. So the people that made the nets, they also going to go out of business. Shrikos for Orgim, they used to have big places where they used to weave. Apparently they made cloth. And in ancient times, Egypt was one of the superpowers of the world. That was really where horses came from Egypt and fabric came from Egypt. It was really a very fertile part of the world. But he's describing here what's going to happen to their industry. Verse 10. And the foundations will be crushed. And they used to make different dams and different water supplies. All that's going to be gone. Verse 11. So what about all the leaders? What are they going to do as their water supply diminishes? What are they going to do to protect themselves? They're going to be foolish. Verse 11. Achavilim Saretzon. The officers, they're foolish. Chachmei Yoetz Paro, their advisors, Eitza Nevara. The worst thing is when people who are supposed to be advisors are foolish. One of the curses that Hashem gives people is that when the leaders are not good leaders, like the leaders are supposed to help the people, and they come up with these ideas that are foolish. There's nothing worse than that. You know, they're supposed to, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to have very bad leaders, though. They often say, you know, like if the Arabs had good leaders, you know, had they accepted what the Jews were offering them at any time, you know, whether it had been in 48 or 67, or it would have been different. But they always have bad rulers, bad leaders. But that's part of Hashem's plan also. Ek tamru el paro ben chachamimani. They brag, you know, my father was smart. That's all they can say. You know, my dad was I'm the son of wisdom. I'm a ben chachamim. I am the son of wisdom. Uben Uben Malkekenem, and I'm a following in the line of the great Egyptian kings. Egypt was known for being very wise, and again, in ancient times, Egypt had wisdom was very developed. They had universities, and they had medicine, and they had all kinds of culture in the ancient world. Verse 12. I mean, to this day, we still don't have mummies. We don't know how the mummies work. They were able to preserve the bodies for thousands of years. We don't have the exact recipe, and we can't build pyramids so that lasts like they used to. Today's buildings, you know, you get 100 years. That's, you know, that's pretty good. You get, you know, they build things to last. You give them credit, you know. But they had a lot of wisdom. So. Today, as Egypt is going to disintegrate, we're going to wonder, where did that go? I am Eifo Chachmasecha, where's your wisdom? And they're going to tell you, V'gina na loch v'yedu ma yo'et Hashem sfachos al Mitzrayim. They messed with Hashem. And when Hashem, a nation can think they're smart, but when they mess with Hashem, their days are numbered. Verse 13, No, the officers and the wise people are going to become foolish, and these were cities that were famous for their universities and their wisdom. One was Soan and the other one was Nof. He told us Mitzrayim, they're going to mislead Egypt. Pinashvatel, the heads of their tribes, are going to lead them to nowhere. Verse 14, Hashem Mosa Bekir Baruch Ivim. Hashem like made them foolish. You know, what do they say? Nero fiddled when Rome burned. Hashem like sometimes makes people that you have great nations that just it puzzles people. What were they thinking? What happened to them? How did they, you know, these great and mighty nations that built on a history of doing things in a wise way, and you have these leaders that are just totally lost, totally foolish. But it happens. It happens in places, and that's what's going to happen to Egypt. Is that the a spirit of foolishness. You could see this as like a drunkenness that people are into, you know, into drinking, partying. It's like a rot that sets in. People study, like I said, people worry that nobody knows where the U.S. is headed, or this country or that country, but it happens that when you see, like, you know, people in society that we want to look up to, whether it be a president or a leader, and we find out that they are leading lives, you know, that are they're corrupt and they're immoral and they're not looking out for the benefit of others. And to some degree, we felt that in the Clinton times, or in the you know, when it was which was the last governor of New York, when he was not Pataki, the one.
The
one
that had
junior dinosaurs. Yes, yeah. And then you had that other guy. We've already forgotten.
Spitzer,
right? And then you had that other guy, the New York Set. But where, just one after another, where these people that are supposed to be wise and are supposed to help the people, and they're selected because they're the wisest of the wise to help the people with their problems, and they go there and they party. And they're disloyal to their wives and to their families, and they're just, you know, they're going and so it's a certain corruption that settles in, and you wonder what's going on. You know, there's so many good people in the world. Why can't we have some of them fix the problems? You know, why can't they be? But that's somewhat like a curse that happens when a nation can't have good leadership. So Hashem puts in the midst of Egypt this period of drunkenness. The worst thing about a drunk person is he goes back to, it describes him as going back to his vomit. Meaning, like, they make mistakes, and what do? They go do it again. You know, like, you'd think that after he drank and he threw up once, that he would have enough and never do that again. I'll never forget when I was 16 years old, my father, should be well, for Purim, I asked him to bring me a cigar. So, you know, I thought that was the cool thing to do. And, you know, I asked he brought me a cigar. Never again. Never again. You know. But I haven't touched a cigar since then. And But, you know, sometimes when a person, you know, when you try something and it doesn't work for you, you don't go back to it. But these people were drinking and they threw up, and they the shikar, the drunk person, you'd think that he should know by now what happened last time you were drinking. You know, don't you remember you were in the gutter and you were all dirty and you said, I'm not going to do that anymore? The amount of politicians that have DUIs is incredible. They just don't want to be known when they get caught, right? It's just unfortunate, you know. But that's what's going to happen to Egypt. Verse 15. V'lo yiel l'mitzrayim masa asher yasa rosh v'zanav kippah v'agmon. They won't know what's their head and what's their tail. they're just gonna go back and forth. They won't have a beginning or an end. They won't be able to have a coherent policy. Verse 16. B'yomahu yia mitzrayim kanoshim. In a time of war, I wouldn't take this as an affront against women. In a time of war, the women weren't expected to fight. But they would cry if there was the people would be like women, meaning like they'd be unable to take action. They would just sit and cry. They would just be paralyzed with fear. You could have brave women also. I mean, that's just an expression that was in the, you know, like it'll be Egypt will be like a crybaby, like somebody paralyzed with fear. Because Hashem is waving His hand against them, and they won't be able to do anything. Verse 17. That's also very interesting, because today we don't have all of Israel. We only have the part of Israel we have today is really just Judea and Samaria, just even parts. Jordan actually is most of ancient Israel. They have most of our land. But he's saying over here, he mentions the territory of Yehuda is going to be a fear to Egypt. You know, you're going to mention Israel, they're going to worry, Lechaga, they're going to dread us. Kol asher yaskir osa elav yifu, they'll be afraid, mimei atas Hashem, because of the Hashem, asher yoitz, they're going to see what Hashem is planning against them. Okay, we'll stop here on verse 18, with this prophecy against Egypt. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.